Word for word.
Praha.
Praha.
He said.
He said.
Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam.
The signs of the personality of Godhead.
The signs of the personality of Godhead.
Nama.
Nama.
Of the name.
Of the name.
Puranam.
Puranam.
The supplement of the Vedas.
The supplement of the Vedas.
Brahma Samhitam.
Brahma Samhitam.
Just in pursuance of the Vedas.
Just in pursuance of the Vedas.
Brahmane,
Brahmane,
unto Lord Brahma,
unto Lord Brahma,
Bhagavat Proktam,
Bhagavat Proktam,
was spoken by the personality of Godhead,
spoken by the personality of Godhead,
Brahmakalpe,
Brahmakalpe,
in the millennium in which Brahma was first generated,
the millennium in which Brahma was first generated,
Upagate,
Upagate,
just in the beginning,
just in the beginning.
Translation. He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit by saying that the signs of the personality of Godhead were spoken first by the Lord Himself to Brahma when he was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplementary Vedic literature and it is just in pursuance of the Vedas. Translation, please repeat. He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit.
He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit.
By saying that the science of the personality of Godhead was spoken first by the Lord Himself to Brahma. When he was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplementary Vedic literature. And it is just in pursuance of the Vedas. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of the personality of Godhead. The impersonalist always tries to misrepresent the personal feature of the Lord, not knowing the science of this great knowledge. And Srimad Bhagavatam is in pursuance of the Vedas and scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. To learn this science, one should take shelter of the representative of Sri Sukadeva and follow in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit without foolishly attempting to interpret, thereby committing a great offence at the feet of the Lord. The dangerous ways of the interpretations by the non-devotee class of men have played havoc in understanding the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the careful student should be always alert in this matter if he at all wants to learn the science of Godhead. Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahmakalpa Upagate. Translation. He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharaj Parikshit by saying that the science of the personality of Godhead was spoken first by the Lord Himself to Brahma when he was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplementary Vedic literature and is just in pursuance of the Vedas. So the theme of the last few verses that one has to hear or get the transcendent knowledge from someone who is a devotee, first and foremost. And Prabhupada again stresses in his purport to this verse, and as he did in the previous purport, and as he did the previous purport before that, that interpretation on the knowledge that is imparted by the Supreme Personality, or interpretation of any type of knowledge and presenting it as some sort of a spiritual understanding is unnecessary and a waste of time. And I quoted from Prabhupada where he says that the disciplic succession, there is the difference between the disciplic succession of Brahma, Narad, Vyas, Sukadev, Goswami is different from others. The disciplic successions from other sages are simply a waste of time. Yeah, probably it's every black and white. There's no grey area there. So it was a very humorous way of putting it. Because we were describing about the Prabhupada presented the six famous philosophers of India, the Gautama Rishi and Kanada and Astavakra and Patanjali and so on, and expanding a little bit about their different presentation of philosophies and so on, So they are very renowned sages and present their teachings, and they have many followers. But more or less Prabhupada saying, this is dry philosophy. It is something concocted. Although they have their lines, they have their paramparas even, their disciplic lines. And they have taken source information from Veda and other shastras, and but they've added their own thoughts on logic, just like Gautama and Nyaya and Kanada. You know, Kanada was the atoms and the combination of atoms. And the atheistic appealer was that the Prakriti is the source of everything, there's nothing beyond the Prakriti. So although they presented these things, and they're very renowned, and they're very intellectual, but Prabhupada ultimately says, it's simply a waste of time. Don't waste your valuable time, he says. Life is short. This is dry philosophy, and it certainly is a great study, but our life is short, and it is a very dry thing, but compared to the sweetness, and this was the Amrita, the sweetness of the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Katha, Achyuta Katha, the infallible Supreme Personality of God. Achyuta Katha, Krishna Katha, is like on Wednesday we had Ram Katha. So these are very sweet. And yesterday we were talking about, Prabhupada was saying that they become even sweeter when they are presented by the very elevated Mahabhagavat, someone like Sukadeva Goswami. Just like the parrot puts the beak in the ripened fruit and becomes more sweet. The extra flavor is there. The devotee has his own mood, a loving mood with the Supreme Personality. The Supreme Personality of God, it is sweet. The devotee is sweet. So the two sweetnesses are mixed together and becomes even more sweet. Isn't it? You can mix one condensed milk with the other condensed milk and it becomes more sweet still. One honey with the other honey becomes more sweet. So Krishna is sweet, devotee is sweet, so you act that. And different flavor. You know, every devotee has their loving mood, has their sweetness, and a little bit of different flavor, slightly different rasa with the other one. So you get that. So if they are putting their rasa, that flavor is enhanced. And over the time, you know, other great devotees are also presenting as a wonderful extra enhanced flavor. So it's very wonderful, very sweet, and very relishing. These other philosophies, in comparison, are very dry, and ultimately they're not effective. They may be intellectually appealing and stimulating, and one can debate, and one can proselytize and philosophize and all these things, and it may be attracting, but it cannot give one the nectar for which all of us are yearning, the amrit. Vistarin atmana jogam vibhutim chajana bhuya kataya tiptitstin but nasti memritam. Arjuna says like that, I was quoting the other day. And he said, I want to hear more and more of your opulences and glories. I never tire of hearing your ambrosial words. Your ambrosia, your nectar. So Arjuna. So all devotees feel like that, and Parikshita Maharaj was like that. He said, I want to hear. I am not at all feeling any fatigue by hearing the ocean of nectar of your speeches. Parikshita Maharaj said to Sukadeva Goswami, I'm not at all afraid, you know, even though he was cursed to die in the 7 days, Takshaka was going to bite these poison was going to, and he was going to be killed. So Parikshit said to Sukha, I don't feel any fear, I don't feel any fatigue, actually I'm feeling more enlivened. He was just listening, there was no, they were, and Sukadeva was speaking, and Parikshit was listening, so both of them were enlivened, both of them. No fatigue, even though they weren't eating, they weren't sleeping. And Parikshit especially said, I don't feel any fear, even though actually I'm looking forward. Looking forward. very, very feeling enthused, very positive. As one of our dear God brother friends in Adelaide just passed away, Bimala Prasad just passed away recently, a few was talking with him, and I thought, well, I will talk with him. He was, he had the, what did he have? He had the, he had the pancreatic cancer. And so he was diagnosed, he would leave this world in a short time. So I thought I'd ring him up and go to see him. He said, I have to go to the different hospitals. So I said, okay, we can just talk on the phone. And so I was thinking that my conversation would be just very supportive and you know, and it'd be a somber mood. But he was very, he was preaching to me. I thought, well, I'll have to do some preaching and cheer him up or something like that. He was preaching to me. I hardly got a word in. Because Bimala is a little like that anyway, but he didn't change. He was more so. And he was very positive. He said, I have to preach to my family. They're all coming. They're all crying. My daughters are here. My wife, they're all crying. I have to preach to them. Hey, come on. Everyone, and he was talking with everyone in Dudum Namaj, flew in just last month and went to see him. Said the same thing. Everyone who talked with him, oh, we feel enlightened by talking with him. So that sometimes the devotees that pass away, you know, that Sanatan up there in near Govardhani, some of you, Prabhavishnu, some of us older devotees know Sanatan, who's been a devotee for a long time in English, right? He was from, where was he from? In London, right, yeah. He was from the UK. I think he was in Adelaide for a while, and he was in Sydney for a while.
He was in Adelaide when I joined up.
He was in Adelaide, yeah. So, all-time devotee. He was a diabetic, and he was having some difficulty, but on the day he passed away, he'd gone on the Harinam, been on a few hours Harinam, he'd come back, there was a big wedding ceremony going on. There was a big feast. And the devotees told me he was in his usual place out the back getting all the feast. And he was enjoying it. A few hours later, he passed away. I said, well, that's a pretty good way to go. So he just went down, hurry now, had a big feast. He was probably obviously feeling very, very satisfied. And the next morning, Gopinath and other devotees came to see him, and he was just there. Those who are advanced devotees look forward. Now is the time I can prepare myself, and sometimes that can happen quickly, sometimes over a period of time. So Parikshit Maharaj he wasn't at all feeling any inconvenience. Actually, he was feeling enlivened, enthused, and so he was preparing. And he said that to Sukadeva Goswami, that I never tire, I want to hear more and more. And then Sukadeva Goswami was very happy that he was like that. He was very pleased. Prabhupada comments that pleased to satisfy the guru is the secret of success, of advancement. It's by the guru's mercy that you get the mercy. Of course, by the mercy of Krishna you get nice guru, and by the mercy of guru you get the supreme personality. You've got it. So these are very, very elevated. Here it mentioned yesterday, we were talking about that Sukadeva Goswami, he's referred to Brahmarata. He was protected and sheltered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj, known as Vishnurata, he was protected by the Lord in his form as the Lord of the Supersoul, Vishnu. So he's known Vishnurata. The Vishnurata was hearing from the Brahmarata. Brahmanya Sukadeva Goswami, I told the story yesterday how, you know, he was in the womb. And he had already realized, and he didn't want to come out. And Vyasadeva was very, his father was very concerned. You have to come in the world. No, I don't want to come. Why? Because I'm afraid I will be influenced by Maya if I come in the world. So Vyasadeva assured him, I will protect you. You're in the Grihastha Ashram, you've got the attachment. Maybe if I come, I'll be in a similar situation, and then the Maya will affect me. So I don't completely trust your words. So Vyasadeva went to Krishna all the way to Dwarka and asked Krishna, please come. And he brought him back, and then Krishna actually assured Sukadeva Goswami, you will not be affected by Maya. So when Krishna gave him assurance, then Sukadeva came in. So he is known as the Brahmarata, who took shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna. Of course, Parikshit, we were explaining yesterday, the Brahmastra was sent by Ashvatthama to kill off the last descendants of the Pandavas. Uttara had Parikshit in a womb, and then the Brahmastra came there, and the Supreme Lord expanded in his Paramatma feature and protected. So Vishnu, the Vishnurada should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Brahmarata and no one else, because others misrepresent the transcendental knowledge and thus spoil one's valuable time. Misrepresent. And yesterday we were reading, it's unnecessary, isn't it? It's proper to use this word. Impersonal always tries to misrepresent. They try to misrepresent. So this word unnecessarily. Foolish interpreters unnecessarily tackle Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam when they actually have no access to the subject matter. Unnecessary. There's no need for them to give their interpretation. We already have the presentation, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we already have great devotees like Sukadeva Goswami presenting it, and Parikshit Maharaj hearing it. Suta Goswami again presented it to the sages of Naimisharanya. Great acharyas have presented that and have given their commentaries. There's no need for, you know, these interpretations from lesser people. Well, what is the need? There's no need. Why waste your valuable time even giving the interpretation? And what to speak of hearing it? And I told the story when Prabhupada came here and he was speaking at the Palais, one question at the end. Swami, our Dr. Radhakrishna, he says it's not unto the Krishna, but beyond the Krishna. And the Prabhupada just was he said, what does he know? He is a mundane scholar, Dr. Radhakrishna. So Prabhupada was not very impressed with these interpretations and presenting, especially twisting it, and presenting something impersonal, attributing the Supreme as just impersonal, denying he has any personal form or personal features and pastimes and so on and so forth. So, and yesterday's purpose, Prabhupada even said that Shankaracharya stayed away from the Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, but of course he, initially he glorified Bhagavad Gita because he had his mission to present the impersonal part. Lord Shiva came as Shankaracharya, but in many places he glorified Krishna. There's a nice poem glorifying Bhagavad Gita and the speaker of Bhagavad Gita coming from Adi Shankaracharya, glorifying Krishna, Govinda Ashtakam. There was one nice poem, Govinda Ashtakam by Shankaracharya, Krishna Ashtakam, Bhaja Govindam, other works where Shankaracharya glorifies. Of course, in his preaching around the place, he would present the impersonal, but in the beginning of his life, and especially at the end, he said, "Does surrender unto Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Muda Mate, you're actually a Muda. Just don't worry about this jugglery and this interpretation, all these things that only Govinda can give you the liberation." So Prabhupada said like that. So again, he emphasizes that the impersonal always tries to misrepresent the feature of the Lord, not knowing the science of this great knowledge. Now, a prophet often uses this word science, and you'll find in the dictionary that science is, translated, the word science is translated as the modern understanding of the science field. That is science. It's also translated something methodical, something presented very systematically. Something presented methodically and something presented very systematically. So Prabhupada uses this word, obviously, in this context. He's not referring to the science field and so on and so forth. He's referring to, it's a science because the knowledge coming in Srimad Bhagavatam is very systematically presented from the first canto, second canto, third canto, going up different aspects, the creation, of course, the position of the personality of Godhead, our relationship with him. Gradually, this knowledge is presented in such a way, leading up to a higher understanding of the personality of Godhead, his position, his pastimes, his relationship with us, and then in more intimate pastimes as we go to the 10th canto and so on and so forth. So it's very, very scientific, probably using the word scientifically presented, in other words, very methodically, systematically presented, very nicely presented for the understanding of the common man, and especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Purana, Many commentators, even mundane scholars, have appreciated Bhagavaprana, and they say it is considered by many to be the best of the Puranas because it presents the loving devotion, especially to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to the various incarnations, and ultimately to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So it's presented like that, and they consider it's the spotlight. Of course, it's referred to as the spotless Purana. It is considered, even by scholars, to be sattva-guna, a mode of goodness Purana. At least they say like that, mode of goodness. It was one of the major Puranas, the most highest Purana, Bhagavad Purana. And most well-known of the Puranas. It was translation of the Bhagavad Purana. Actually, I think I remember reading that there's a translation of the Bhagavad Purana as the first one to be translated into other languages of the world. First in the European language. There were some French editions of it in the 17th, 18th century. So it was the first one. And then in the English language. Of course, and now Prabhupada has kindly given us Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So nice works. Prabhupada would tell us that you have got a whole lifetime worth of works. I remember when Prabhupada came here one time, all of us Sankirtan devotees came in to see Prabhupada, and he was giving us nice sweets and everything like that. And he's asking, how many books are you selling? And we would give him the report, how many books we were selling. And then he would ask, oh, that's very nice, very nice. And we would go, Jai Prabhupada. But then he said, but are you reading my books? Are you reading them? It's very nice you were distributing them, but are you reading the books? So it's very important we read these books. They're nectar books. Quite often I travel different places, and you know, many of our devotees, they are mainly in the Grihastha ashram. They're not able to attend regularly the temple, and they have other duties and so on. So unfortunately, they're not reading Prabhupada's books so much. Quite often I ask the question, how many are regularly reading Prabhupada's books? And only a few hands go up. When they come to the temple, they hear the class or something like that. But actually reading themselves, and we should try to read these books. It's a study. but it's a quite it is a very high sweet taste and sweeter and becomes sweeter when presented by great devotees like Sukadeva Goswami and great Acharya's comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. So very important to read the books, understand the books, and engage in devotional service. By reading these books, we get the transcendent knowledge of the position of Krishna, his pastime, or what is our position, what is our constitutional position, and rendering service. If I was giving a class last night to the brahmacharis, and I said one of the most important things for the brahmachari, you have to serve the guru very nicely, you've got good opportunity, always living in the ashram, in the temple, means full time. A grihastha ashram is maybe not so much opportunity, have other duties, but brahmachari means full time you can do. And of course, Krishna says in Bhagavatam, Vidhi Pani Pashana, Pari Prashana Sevaya, you have to inquire, understand this knowledge, inquire from the Guru, understand this knowledge, and render seva, and render service. They're very, very important. Prabhupada would emphasize on the service, getting the knowledge and the doing the service. he would encourage, actually, in the old days, we all of us had the saying, you know, such and such Prabhu, he has got good service attitude. Right? That was quite a common saying. Very good service attitude. Serving in the temple, serving Krishna, because we are, our constitutional position, we are servants. We are rendering service. And originally, we have a great attachment due to this service. From service comes attachment. So now we're serving in the world, we've got so many attachments in the world. If we again come to serving, if a Prabhupada would stress service, and Krishna himself stresses, and inquire from him submissively and render service. Very, very important, because then the realization comes from service, the attachment comes from service. Very important. I've often told the story, I remember, you know, many years ago, that we were in Vrindavan when the Krishna Balaram temple was just open, 1975, when they, a little late they wanted to open in the year before in Janmashtami, but it was a little late due to construction hold up. But they opened in Ram Navami. We were there, and one morning, after the morning program, we were just wandering around the temple, looking at all the new things in the temple, Papa just happened to come down with some of his disciples, and then he stopped and he looked at us. He said, "What are you doing here?" And then he turned to his servants, "What are they doing here?" Someone said, "Oh, we're just looking at the new temple proper." And Papa said, "Oh, you don't have any servants? You're just looking?" And then he turned to his son, "Give them some service." So we got the point. We have to not just looking, we have to do some service actually. We can look while we're doing the service. So serving is very important. You know, actually, Prabhupada was emphasizing on and spreading the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya. It's a great service to humanity. His classes, actually, Prabhupada's classes were not very long, generally speaking. Short. He knew how to engage, especially in the Western countries. He would give the Bhagavatam class, maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, and he would stress upon Sankirtan movement during Seva, like that. So, of course, we have to read the books, we have to do service, everything done side by side. So, coming back to this point, Srimad Bhagavatam is a supplementary Vedic literature. It is so important, the Srimad Bhagavatam, topmost. And supplementary, even the word supplementary. Supplementary means something that makes another thing complete. If you look at the dictionary meaning, something that makes something else complete or enhances that original thing. That is what is meant by a supplement or supplementary. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplementary to the Vedic literature. It is Bhagavad Purana, sometimes referred as the fifth Veda. It supplements, it enhances. There's one story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was giving a series of lectures at Jagannath Puri, and many attended. And some brahmanas came, and one of them in the end said, "Yeah, very nice lecture, but you are quoting too much from the Puranas. You should quote more directly from Veda." He was saying like that. So, very nice lecture, but your Purana, too many, your Veda you should quote more. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took some time. He said, no. He said that actually, Purana is more important than Veda. He said, because in Veda, so many things are very difficult to understand. And what is not understood in Veda is explained in Purana, and especially Bhagavad Purana. So, therefore, I consider Purana more important than Veda. So this is just a summary of what he said, but it was a lengthy conversation. And in the end, that brahmana, who was like a pundit, he was convinced by the presentation, and actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was quoting many different shastras about the supremacy of the Puranas. And he quoted to that brahmana. So that brahmana was convinced, and he accepted. Or I accepted. It was very difficult not to accept. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said something. So I learned it. So he continued on the next evenings also, quoting to them. So these are very important. What is not understood, and this was told by Narad Muni to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva was not feeling totally satisfied. He had, you know, the Veda. He had divided the Veda and given to some disciples to expand. He made commentary, Vedanta Sutra. Then Narad Muni had to come. Yes, you haven't touched on devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the essence of everything. It's all right describing the different rituals and the different things like that. But what about loving devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So Vyasadeva, he immediately understood his deficiency. And so he gave this Srimad Bhagavatam. He compiled it all and so on. So this is very, very important. Very sweet. So therefore it is very much stressed. Bhagavatam is a supplementary Vedic, and it is just in pursuance of the Vedas. There's nothing contradictory of what is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, what is said in the Veda. Although it may appear, but to those who are not very mature in their understanding, it may appear, in the Veda says so many things, and Bhagavatam says something else. Therefore, one has to understand any of these things by approaching someone who is in the line of the disciplic succession, just like Sukadeva Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj had gone to the bank of the Ganga to search out, to hear this message of Krishna Katha. There were many there who could have given him knowledge in so many different aspects, but he preferred to hear from Sukadeva Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami, a place called Sukrata. He wanted to hear, he immediately knew, he saw. So Sukadeva Goswami is very advanced devotee. And immediately they met each other. Parikshit Maharaj said, yes, he is the one. And Sukadeva was very pleased with Parikshit. Yes, he is the one qualified to hear. So both have to be qualified. Both the speaker has to be qualified, and the listener has to be qualified. Just like if you go to school, if you go to the university, you may have the best teacher, you may go to the best institution, you may have the best books, you may have the best everything, but if you're not a good student, you will not pass and get your degree. You can have the renowned professor of the world teaching the whole course and presenting some aspect, but still, you're not a good student. So if a teacher is good, books good, institution good, student good, everything good, everything will come out good. So if we just follow the formula as given to us by the great acharyas, then we'll make very nice rapid advancement. Prabhupada used to use this term sometimes. Rapid advancement on the path of devotion. This bhakti. Bhakti is topmost. To give the love and devotion. Bhakti. One time here, Prabhupada was giving a series of Bhagavad Gita classes, and someone in the end, they said, Swami, in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that Raja Yoga, that is the king, that is the topmost position. So we should follow the Raja Yoga. Prabhupada said, yes, Raja Yoga is king, that is a very high position, but Bhakti, that is emperor. He said, king is always subordinate to emperor. So Raja Yoga is high, to get the high knowledge, but bhakti especially is very intimate, a very sweet thing, and a natural position actually. So bhakti is the culmination of all the yogas. Actually, there's only one path, the different degrees of advancement and realization. Maybe the yogas may be known by a particular name, but ultimately it's meant to culminate in bhakti. And this is very much facilitated by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from, you know, great devotees like Sukadeva Goswami, and in the right association. Very wonderful. Just like today is the appearance day of the Shamananda Prabhu, a very wonderful devotee. Right from his birth, he was born in Orissa, one village in Orissa, and he was actually, the family, the parents had very misfortune, many of the children who died early, so he was given the name Duki, and he was, later on of course he went and took initiation from Hridaya Chaitanya in Navadvipa. Used to visit the house of Gauridas Pandit, who was associate of Lord Chaitanya. So this Shamananda, later on of course he was called, but in the beginning when he was initiated by this Hridaya Chaitanya, he was given, you will be Krishnadas. And he, because there was many Krishnadasas, he was known as Duki Krishnadas. And so Hridaya Chaitanya said that you should go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Jiva Goswami and learn from Jiva Goswami. So he went and he was learning. At that time Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas were also there learning from Jiva Goswami. And Duki Krishna wanted some extra night service. So Jiva Goswami, you go sweep in the forest, the groves of the Sevakunj area. You'd sweep that area, make nice. That's your service. He was doing every day and he was feeling ecstasy. He was very advanced about it. Feeling ecstasy, he was sweeping sometimes the dust from the broom. He would get it and shake it on his head like, take the dust. He says, I am so lucky, I'm getting the dust of Vrindavan. He says, great devas like Brahma, Shiva, they want to get the dust, and I am getting the dust like that. So we were sweeping, sweeping, and when one time he found one ankle bracelet in the dust, he picked up his ankle, and then he tied it in a cloth. He said, "When whoever has lost it will come, and then I can give it at that time." So, you know, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, it is said, they go on eternally in Vrindavan. Although the manifest pastimes, Krishna comes and then he goes, but they are going on actually eternally. And so, one time that, Radharani said, "Oh, where's my ankle bracelet? It is missing." And the other gopis, "Oh, you must have, when we were there in the Seva Kunjaria, must have fallen off." And she told them, go and look. So all the gopis were looking for this Radharani's ankle bracelet. So Vishakha came there, and she saw this Duki Krishna. And she asked, "Have you found any bracelet?" He said, "Yes, I've got one bracelet." "Is it your bracelet?" "No, it is not my bracelet. It is one of my friend's bracelets." He said, "But just give it to me and I will give it to her." "Oh, that's all right. No, I want to give it. So tell her she has to come and I want to give it to her." Right. "So all right, I'll tell her." So she went back and Shaka went back. Of course, this Duki Krishna was totally mesmerized by Vishakha. She was so beautiful, and he was just mesmerized. And he could hardly speak. But anyway, he said like that. And she went back. "Oh, Srimati Radharani." "Oh, so all right, we will go there." And so when Radharani came there, of course, Duki Krishna was just began to cry. And then "I heard you have got that." "Yes, I have got." "All right." And Vishakha actually came forward. She is the one. And this is her bracelet, and she is very happy with you. Just give me the bracelet, I will give it to her. And she's very happy, she wants to make a presentation to you. So then Duki Krishna felt something was very wonderful was going on. And so he, all of a sudden, he was in a situation that all of a sudden Radhakun was before him, and he felt himself just going to the Radhakun, dipping in the water of the Radhakun, coming out. His form had changed into a gopi. His form had changed into a gopi. He was a male to him. All of a sudden, he became female. He became gopi. And then he was led by Vishakha to Radharani. And Radharani took that bracelet, and with the kumkum on her lotus feet, he rubbed it and then put on the forehead of Duki Krishna, one mark from the bracelet. On the forehead of Duki Krishna. And thanked Duki Krishna very much. So then they went away, and all of a sudden they disappeared. And Duki Krishna came out of like a trance-like state. He found he was again in the male form. But miraculously, the marking was still on his forehead that Radha had put there. But then he went to Jiva Goswami and told the whole story. And Jiva Goswami, "Oh, this is very wonderful. But just keep secret for now, because others will not understand this." And of course, she gave him that name. I forgot to mention that when she did like that, she gave him that, "You will now be known as Shamananda. Shamananda. Your name will now, from now on, you will be known as Shamananda. Sham, my Sham." So he told Jiva Goswami like that. So he was like, "Just keep secret, but you can go by the name Shamananda," because Radharani gave that name. So gradually he came to be known, all the Vaishnavas, they saw the mark, and they know he's going by the name Shamananda, so they began to reach Hridaya Chaitanya, who was in Navadvipa. He came there, he was a little bit upset. "How is it, my disciple, all of a sudden he's changing his name and he's going with this thing? He's deviated from the path." So he came, he was very upset with him. And he began to chastise him very severely. "Why have you done like this? I sent you here to go just be just rightly. And now you've gone some strange thing with you. Now Shamananda, I gave you the name Krishna Das. Now you want to change it to all of a sudden you're Shamananda. You put this strange mark on your forehead. What's going on?" And he was very angry with him. The Vaishnava had to restrain Hridaya Chaitanya. He was so angry. So later on, when Hridaya Chaitanya was asleep, then Radharani came to him in a dream. He said, "Who are you to chastise? I was the one that made the mark, and I was the one to give the name. And if I want something, it must be so. Who are you to do anything or say anything about that? Or who is anyone? What is anyone going to do about that?" So Hriday Chaitanya is very old. He realized he made a great offense. In the dream, he paid his obeisance. The next morning, he called Shamananda. And he was very happy. Forgive my offense. And he told the whole dream and everything like that. So they lived together for some time. Of course, later on, Hriday Chaitanya went back, and then Shamananda and Narottam Srinivas continued to stay. And then the Goswamis had a meeting, and they said that, well, these teachings should be presented everywhere. And so they instructed Srinivas, Narottam, Shamananda, all the scriptures that they had compiled, and go and distribute to other parts of India. So they went. Of course, we know the story that when they went to stop them, place, there was dacoits, and they came and stole them. And there was one king. What did I forget? Sir,
Birhambi.
And then it was his men who came in. And Srinivas stayed behind and was able to persuade the king. And the king actually became his disciple. We got those literatures back. But the other two went on. Narottam went to Khetri, and Shamananda went back to, Orissa. Went to Orissa. I think first he went to see his guru, and then he went to Orissa. And then he preached all in Orissa and spread the teachings of the Goswamis, spread these nice works, and made many disciples. Very famous devotee. Today is the appearance day of Shamananda, who, and also Vamsi Vedan Thakur. A few auspicious occasions, he said Vamsi Vedan Thakur was the incarnation of Krishna's flute. He's the incarnation of Krishna's flute. So very wonderful devotees, very sweet devotees, very nectarian devotees. Some devotees say that these great devotees, they are like gulab jamuns. They are so sweet, you squeeze them and they become even more sweet. The juice comes out. So we should always seek association of such sweet nectarian devotees. I mean, they will give you the nectarian pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very sweet. The devotees just want to get the nectar. We're not interested in nyaya or other, patanjali and yoga. This is dry in comparison. Dry. Someone can do the yoga. Someone can do the nyaya, argue and intellectualize things. But for us, it's very dry. We are used to nectar. Once you get the taste of nectar, you don't want to get any other taste. It's very hard to, once you eat the gulab jamun, it's hard to go to any other sweet. It is the topmost. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, I'll read this verse again. Praha Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samitam Brahmane Bhagavat Proktam Brahma Kalpa Upagate. He began to reply to the inquiries of Maharshi Parikshit by saying that the science of the personality of God was spoken first by the Lord Himself to Brahma when he was first born. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supplementary Vedic literature, and it is just in pursuance of the Vedas. Any questions or comments? Well, the essence of the Veda is because the Vedas takes long study, and nor are we very qualified to study the Veda. In this Kali Yuga, it's not recommended. Veda was meant mainly Brahmana. They would study the Veda. Where a lot of different parts of the Veda, different sections, long study. Those who are elevated Brahmanas, they study those things. But for the common man, therefore, Vyasadeva saw that. First, there was just one Veda. And then he saw Kali Yuga. One Veda, people will not how they understand. He divided into four. Still the four. And he made the commentary. He made Vedanta Sutra. They will put it in the sutras. Then he thought, still, he wasn't satisfied. Therefore, Bhagavatam. Narada Muni said Bhagavatam. So therefore, for us in the Kali Yuga, we are not qualified to hear Veda. And not only that, the essence of Veda is there in Bhagavatam, so we go directly to the essence, so there's no real need actually for us to study Veda or anything like that. In one sense, it is supplementary, but in one the other sense is the essence of all teachings. So no need to really study other things. You can just study that thing, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these things, and that is sufficient. You go back home, back to Godhead. Prabhupada, I remember a few times here, he did yajna, he had initiation ceremony, and generally when you do yajna like that, in the four corners, you have the Brahmin reciting, one is Rig Veda, one is Yajurveda, Samaveda, and the Brahmin is reciting. Prabhupada, he would have one corner Bhagavad Gita, one corner Srimad Bhagavatam, another corner Nectar Devotion Life. This is the essence, and this is especially for this age. There are no need for other things. Yes, Vedas Chara. What is that? Naham Vedena Tapa Sana Dedena Chaja Sakya Yudhishthira Dishtavanishimam Yata. One who has come to the position of the devotional service, he is understood to have got the results already of studying the Veda. Naham Vedena Tapa Sana. Of performing tapasya, Nadanena, of giving the charity. Of all these things, Krishna says. You understood. Someone who directly takes up the devotional service. You already got the results of the other. Now you're going on further. So, therefore, yes. The answer to your question, yes. It is to be understood. Because now you're coming directly to what is actually the goal of the Vedic literature. To bring you to the position of the surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and taking up the path of devotional service. So the goal of the Veda is like, so now we've come to it. So now we continue on. Yes, ma'am.
Are the works of the Goswamis considered
great
as well?
Well, you know, Lord Chaitanya told his disciple, the six Goswami, you go to Vrindavan, and he gave them some instruction. You re-excavate the places of the holy pastimes of Krishna. You make nice temples and establish some deity worship, and you write some books. These books you describe, like, you know, he had stuck with Sanatana Goswami for 2 months in Varanasi and Rupa Goswami in Allahabad every day. You write books like this. This will be the essence. So they're, you know, they're not exactly Veda, but they're the essence of the Veda. What is the essence? They are considered like Veda. Veda means knowledge. The actual, you know, Veda, like Samaveda, the essence of that knowledge is in these works of the Goswami. Because their works, they're quoting from all the different Shastras, the Puranas. And, you know, you see Rupa Goswami and his Bhakti Rasamrita. He quotes from the different Puranas, and Hari Bhakti Vilas Bhai and Sanatana. He quotes from the various Shastras. So yes, it's like the fifth Veda, because they are quoting and then presenting everything like that, as Lord Chaitanya instructed them to. Jai Ogulasya Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Balabhagavan ki jai, Lord Premanandi.